Okay, good morning and good Chodesh. Sorry we're a couple of minutes late. I don't think we ever have been before, but it is Rosh Chodesh, so we were delayed with the Igeres Ramban, the new series on the Ramban's letter to his son. Great to be back together again, living with Emuna. I want to thank our generous series sponsors, Drs. Avi and Bella Morgan. We remain incredibly grateful to them for their generosity, sponsoring the series Living with Emuna in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbert, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Shanzer. This morning's shiur is also sponsored by Esti Mirzoff, the Nishmas Ruben Menchayim, Ruby Grunbaum, grandfather of Ari Rechi Mirzoff, and Rina and Shlomi Berkowitz, survived the Shoah, whose Levaya was Anya Mashoah, whose Neshama Shev and Aliyah. Thank you so much for your generosity. And by Brew Pool, a member of our wonderful Chabura Learning, Lila Nishmas, her father, Chanoch Binyamin Ben Avraham. She lost recently, very special Neshama. His Neshama should have an Aliyah as well, an example of living with Emunah. And Bruy should have a lot of nechama, a lot of strength, and a lot of comfort. And as well, in loving memory of Avis Stein, in commemoration of her third Yahrzeit, by her husband, Colin Stein, by her children, Ruth, Haley, and Jonathan. Avis, of course, also was a member of our community and of our shul, and we miss her. A modest and quiet, but incredible example of emunah and of growth in Yiddishkeit, and her neshama should have an aliyah as well. So thank you to all of our generous sponsors. Okay, I mentioned over Pesach, everyone was too busy to have emunah, so they didn't write any letters, just joking. They had a lot of emunah, because Pesach is the Chag HaEmunah, the Yontav of emunah. We don't even just talk about emunah on Pesach. We don't only have props about emunah on Pesach. We actually ingest, we eat emunah on Pesach. The matzah is called the Michla de Nehemnesa, it's the bread of emunah. I say we ingest emunah, we struggle to digest that emunah. Some still have yet to digest that emunah, but we ingest that emunah on Pesach. So it is the Yontav of Emunah. So everyone had a lot of Emunah. They worked on Emunah on Pesach, but they didn't have time to write about and share their Emunah. But now Pesach's over. So Baruch Hashem, we got an influx of Emunah emails. And I'm happy to share some of them with you because you make the shir. It's not me. We learn the Torah of someone else and I read the emails of someone else. And I just get the privilege of sitting up here. And it's an incredible, incredible thing. I'll share with you with a lot of excitement. It's also kind of cool. It's not a flex. It's because it's our collective shir. And I'm reading your letters. But my daughters flew back to Israel yesterday, 2 days ago. And on their flight on El Al, you can now listen to Living with Emunah as one of the options. Yeah, Listening with Emunah series is there. So, wow, I don't know. It's your shir. It's your shir. It's your letters. But there are people who are 35,000 feet in the sky, and they're able to tap into your letters. So when you send the letter, no, you're not just hitting our audience down here on the ground. But you're hitting the people who are in the sky, many of whom probably their head is back, their eyes are closed, and they're drooling. But at least in theory, they're listening to Living with Emunah, you know, while the row in front of them is banging their knees. Anyway, so here are some Emunah emails and exciting stories for this morning. Then we'll dive back into what we've been learning from Rav Moshe Shapiro. I hope you got a chance. I posted on our WhatsApp group a little biography about him, about who he was. I think it's really important when we learn someone's Torah to not only see their words, but to know where they come from. They come from a real person who had a real life and who had real experiences. And that's why I shared it with you. If you're not on the WhatsApp group, you should join. We put a lot of bonus material and follow-up and other ideas there as well. As well as we put the video I told you about, the terror event on Erev Pesach, where the gun jammed, the miracle of the gun jamming. Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim. We don't know how many times the gun jammed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim in Aflos. We know how many times it went off, and we don't understand it, and we object, and we protest, and we say, Hashem, we love you, we accept you, but we don't accept. We know how many times it went off, but we don't know how many times it jammed, and that's why only Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim, those who tried and it didn't work, can praise Hashem better than we. I put that video there as well. Okay, here's a email. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, as you said last week, no one had time to email you about their Emunah stories amidst the preparations of Pesach. Now it's over, I want to share my Emunah story. I knew it was a Rabbi Goldberg Emunah story as it was happening. Is there a better compliment in the world? Afterwards, my son-in-law shared that as the story was unfolding, he too kept thinking it would make a great Emunah email. It had all the trappings of the trademark Emunah emails. An airport, flight delays, thinking we should be on a different flight, and realizing, oh yes, Hashem is in charge. Baruch Hashem. All our children are in Israel. My eldest daughter, her husband and son, and my second daughter live there, and my son is there for the year. No one wanted to come home for Pesach, so we happily booked tickets to join them for the Chag. They were raised well. To begin with, We were cutting it close, leaving Sunday afternoon, arriving early Monday, early morning of Erev Pesach. I had a stomach ache to begin with about the flight, but kept on reminding myself, have emuna, it will all work out. Hashem will put us where we need to be. As did everyone on Motzei Shabbos, April 13th, we were glued to the news. Listening to the miraculous events took place the night Hashem protected Israel from 300 ballistic missiles, drones, and rockets from Iran. We were so relieved and filled with gratitude that everyone was all right, but nervous about what would ensue in the following days. I spent the next 2 days debating with my husband whether or not to try and change our flights. He was happy to leave them, but I was concerned and found myself caught between hishtadlus and emuna. And those are those moments. I find actually, and the author is completely correct, it's those moments where you're not sure what to do. How many times have you been in an airport, your flight is delayed, and you say, you know, I checked, there's another flight out of LaGuardia, there's another flight here in the same airport, it's the one going to Palm Beach, and you say, I don't know, is my initiative, is my effort, is Hashem want me to do, put that other flight on my radar, go take it, go switch to it, go change it. Or is Hashem saying, hey moron, just get out of the way, I got a plan, don't change anything, sit tight, this is where you're meant to be. And it's those places that's that conflict, I don't know. Am I supposed to take the shidduch? Do I take this job? Do I reject this job? Do I make this deal? We can believe in both. I know I need to take initiative. I know I need to make effort. I know that's what makes the world run. That's what the last days of Pesach were all about. The seventh and eighth day, Kriyas Yom Suf, the splitting of the sea, are when Hashem say, hey, close the Tehillim, close the Siddur, stop talking to me, stop being a passive spectator waiting for me, and start walking. Start walking. Stop talking. Close the sitter. Close the tehillim, and get to the doctor. Close the sitter. Close the tehillim, and get to work. If you want a parnas, if you want a livelihood, so we know we need initiative. That is part of our philosophy. I like to say, I like to put it: we pray with our lips, and we also pray with our hands and feet. We pray with our lips from the sitter and the tehillim, but we show Hashem and we pray. We demonstrate our faith through the initiative with our hands and feet. We have to also take actions. We have to take initiative. So it's that place, that intersection, that tension, that conflict between emuna and hishtadlus, between initiative and faith, that's where it gets complicated. That's where there is no heavenly voice whispering to us, here's what you're meant to do. Here's what you're meant to do. Take this action or sit this one out and sit still. That's where we have to figure it out on our own to the best of our ability. And that's what the author of this email is writing. She was trying to do. Do I move the flight earlier? Do I sit tight where I am? In that conflict, what do we do? We've spoken about this a lot in the Munah Shirim and shared some Torah about how to approach it. We decided to try and fly out earlier, and my husband booked us on Emirates Air to Athens and then El Al to Israel. We were to leave Wednesday night, but Wednesday afternoon, the flight to Athens was pushed to Thursday morning, which was all right because we could still make the connecting flight to Israel. We woke up early Thursday morning to head to the airport. However, we had an email waiting for us that the flight was delayed again, and we would no longer make the connecting flight. We canceled the tickets at 6 a.m. only to get an email at 6:30 that the flight was back on. Which is exactly what makes you doubt every time you take initiative. What are you doing? Just get out of the way. He's got a plan. At that point, my husband was headed into work, and with the canceled tickets, we clearly were not getting on that plane. It was not meant to be. We learned later on in the day that there was a once-in-a-century flooding in Dubai, and all flights were grounded. Baruch Hashem, we had not canceled our Sunday afternoon tickets, so we had one more chance to make it in time for Pesach. What I found most interesting about the experience was how leading up to our attempted earlier flight, I was a ball of anxiety, not being able to think about anything else other than the flights. But then, right after, as we understood that we were not making it to Israel before Shabbos as we had hoped, a calm came over me, and all the anxiety and worry I had carried since Saturday night was completely gone, replaced with a strong sense of emuna and understanding that Hashem is so clearly in charge, and I did not need to worry at all. He would put us where we were needed to be. Baruch Hashem, this is an emunah story with a happy ending. Our flight on Sunday got us to Israel early Monday morning. We enjoyed a beautiful Pesach with our children. I am not convinced we were right in trying to get out earlier than originally planned, instead of having emunah that we were on the right flight for us. It certainly was a reminder that Hashem is in charge, and when we surrender to Him and have an emunah that it will all work out, it is supposed to be, we can let go of the anxiety that comes in thinking we have control. Thank you for all you do to strengthen Klal Yisrael with admiration, so-and-so, and such and such. So, again, another example. This one had a good ending. They don't all do, but all we get here every Wednesday morning we get together for me to repeat the same exact thing. It is shocking that you actually show up to hear it. We just repeat the same thing every week, which is that life is so much better when we live with emuna. Just, it'll be the way it's meant to be. This is the answer. This is the way it works out. Someone got sick. We made it. It was delayed. It didn't. It's just, it'll work. It's the way it's meant to be. surrender, let go and let God, lean in, submit and accept. And there's just a calm that washes over you, a calm that washes over you. I remember when I had meningitis years ago, and was hospitalized for over a week, and I got out and I had this enormous headache that wouldn't go away, which was meningitis, the meninges of the brain, they were on fire. It was terribly painful. Some of you lived here then, maybe you remember, it was when I first became the rabbi. Anyway, it's a whole other story. So I couldn't find relief, and I, for a while, was taking Oxycontin. I'm not embarrassed, I'm not proud, it was the only thing. And I a very high dose of it, and I wanted to and did wean myself off of it. I tried everything, ultimately acupuncture, yoga. I don't know whether they made me feel better or it was just time to feel better or whether it was a placebo. I have nothing against them. They're wonderful. I did them for a while and they worked. But when I was on Oxycontin for that time, I remember every pill I took, and I understand. You can understand why it's addictive, why it needs to be so highly regulated, why it's abused. Because every time I took the pill, I'd be in unbearable pain. I remember back to when I was in the hospital. I was attached to a pain pump that you could just click it. It had Dilaudid. And I remember I would just click, 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 click and set off this alarm until the nurse came. Because you have this unbearable pain and then you take that what's it called? The narcotic. And all of a sudden this like warm, calm relief just washed over you. That's the way I experienced it. People have different experiences. When I would take it, it would go from this pain and agitation and aggravation and angst, unbearable, relentless, to all of a sudden this just like, it's calm, like it would just wash over you, and you can, and then it would wear off. You understand the cycle and the addiction and the danger of it, because it would wear off, and then you just want that again, and then you need more to get it again, because your body is acclimating to it, and it's a very, very dangerous, and obviously needs to be in the appropriate setting, and so on. Why am I giving that example? Because you can experience and receive a similar sensation through emunah and bitachon. I'm not exaggerating. When you feel my heartbeat, my pulse, my sweat glands, my nervousness, my anxiousness, and what will be, you take those deep breaths, neshama, neshima, you restore your soul with deep breathing, which is a Jewish concept, meditation and deep breathing and restoring the soul. Neshama shenasata b'tahori, the neshama, neshima, breath, soul, the same word. And you could feel, it's Hashem, you're in charge, you're in control, I'm submitting to you, there's a plan, this is for a reason, this is not random, this is not chance, I'm not a victim, there is a reason, there will be another side, there will be a tomorrow, I can get through this, I will put one foot in front of the other, one day I will learn in this world or the next why it happened, you will give me the strength, I can lean on you, and you can get me through this. And that's like the pain pump. That's like the Dilaudid pump. I think the nurse eventually came in and took it out of my hand and said, you can't have this anymore. So, but that is the, we have an emunah pump. And don't overuse it and don't abuse it. And don't become desensitized to it. It is good to become addicted to. But we have an emunah pump, you know, when you're going through the day and when we're going through life. And again, don't abuse it. Not everything needs the emunah narcotic. Sometimes it could use the emunah Tylenol. Doesn't need the emunah narcotic. Sometimes it could use the emunah, I don't know, herbal medicine. You don't always need the highest level pain pump emunah, but we've got it. We've got access to it. You don't need a prescription for it. You know what the prescription is? You're a tzelem elokim. You're a tzelem, you were born, you have a connection to God, you have a chelek elokim mimal mamash, a piece of God inside you. You've got an ongoing, endless prescription. Refills. You got a refill of the emunah prescription. Endless refill. Endless. You know how annoying it is when you gotta call it that? You go into the pharmacy, it turns out your refill's expired, you gotta get a hold of your doctor, please call the pharmacy. Emunah, endless refills. Endless refills. Unregulated. No alarm or shut off to the pump. Whenever you need it, lean in. Whenever you need it, pump it. Through taking a few deep breaths, closing your eyes, disconnecting, going for a walk, having that conversation, talking to him, talking to yourself, grounding, centering, and saying, and you will be the same sensation of that warmth, of that flow, of that letting go, of that, okay, yeah, wow, that feels different. That feels different. I'll tell you, I can't tell you how often during davening, because that's when when I'm distracted in my davening in Shemona Esrei, and I want to try to recenter, you know, we make this mistake of thinking, because many of us have been davening since we're kids, little kids, and it's sort of like you press go and you're off to the races, and once you start, you can't slow down or stop. And if it was a good davening, it was a good davening. And if it wasn't a good davening, too bad, there's always the next davening. But like once the momentum's carrying you, you're just off. And we don't realize that, you know, you're allowed to stop. In the middle of Shemona Esrei, look at yourself and stop and say, one second, this is not good. This is not going anywhere. I'm not really here. One second. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to ground myself, center myself, and I'm going to continue from here. Just pause. Just a pregnant pause. Just pause. Pause and stop. And the best way to pause was with a deep breath. And you know what I find often? That when I'm taking that deep breath, it's like my shoulders are over my ears. You're just like, you're wound up. Especially chakras, the beginning of the day, there's so much ahead, there's so much worry and angst and what will be, and I got to take care of, and that meeting and that thing, and I didn't prepare, and I got to get there, and I've got to... So you're not really focused on what you're saying, you're not really in a conversation or spending time with him, and you're so wound up that you can feel the tension that your shoulders are up over your ears and over your head. You know what you do during that deep breath? And all of a sudden you just let go, and you relax every muscle, and you lower your shoulders, and good, now let's go. I'm in, I'm ready, let's go. We've got to do this. You can't live life when you're wound up. You can't live life when you're wound up. I just saw or read somewhere, Ben Hogan, one of the great golfers, the sweetest golf swing of all time. Any golfers here? You know what his greatest golf advice, which is immortal, they say, is simply the tightness with which you grip the club. Forget your swing plane, forget impact, forget velocity. How tight are you gripping the club? We tend to think that the tighter you grip it, the tighter you're holding it, the better you're going to swing it. It's the opposite. It's a terrible mistake. It's a mistake. You should be gripping at like a third of the tightness. The looser you are, the farther it's going to go. The better you're going to swing. Ask a drummer. My wife is a drummer. Anytime she's not here, I have a license to talk about her. I gave myself that license. She's watching my sick grandchildren. It's not her fault. She gets a pass today, excused absence. But she's not here, so I could talk about it. So she's a drummer. Not recently, but she knows how to drum. She's a drummer. She'll tell you. Ask any drummers here. When do you? If you hold the sticks tight, forget about it. You can't play it. It's the looser that you're holding them, the better that you're going to play. Every instrument, every sport, in all of life, the tighter you're gripping, the more you're holding on, the worse you're going to perform. And the more that you let go, and the looser you're gripping, the more you take the deep breath and you let go, then you're going to fly. Then you're going to soar. Then you're going to play the best music. It's going to play the best music. So what's true in music and sports is true in life. Loose grip. Let go. Relax the shoulders. Deep breaths. Take the spiritual emuna oxycontin, the pain pump that we all have, the emuna pump that we all have. Limitless refills. As often as you need it, take it. It's there for us. And again, so many of our examples, you know, I guess it's bad that we're being stereotyped. Our Amuna stories are all about flights and airports. You think that we live traveling. But they're every day, and they're everywhere, and they're all of life. And just let go. And life becomes so much, so much better. Okay, we have more stories, but maybe we have to share. Okay, one more quick one, and then we'll get back to learning. Shalom, Rabbi Gomer. I hope you had a beautiful Pesach. I want to say thank you, blah, 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 blah. Yada, yada. I want to share a story that just happened to me on Erev Shabbos. This morning, before taking my daughter to Gan, I took her with me to buy some groceries for Shabbos. I took some cash with me and put it in a little Ziploc bag. We got to the shop easily, no simple feat on a Friday morning, and we walked back to the car. I put the groceries in the trunk, I put the cash on the roof of the car while I buckled my daughter into her car seat. I slowly pulled out of my parking spot and made my way to take her to Gan. All pretty routine. I still had another errand to run, and when I got there, I suddenly remembered the bag of cash I left on the roof of the car. I knew without looking that it was certainly no longer there. Sure enough, my heart sank when I realized I had indeed lost it. Knowing the wonderful community in which I live, I immediately posted in a few WhatsApp groups that I had lost this money. Would anyone please keep an eye out for it? I got an immediate response from one of a very kind woman who said she lives right there and would go out and look for it. Mika Amcha Yisrael, this very generous woman, walked all over the shopping center with her baby in the carrier just looking for my money. But unfortunately, with no success. Another kind neighbor offered to go to the grocery store to see if anyone had turned into the main register. Unfortunately, no success there either. Just as an aside, wow. Like, these two people stopped what they were doing, went to the place. Mika Amcha Yisrael is right. Beautiful. Not because, by the way, these were soldiers on the front line. We rose to the occasion of the war. It's just an everyday person who made an everyday mistake. And Mika Amcha Yisrael, Jewish people are amazing. While all this was going on, I was reminded of a recent Amunah Shir, where you, Rav, spoke about one of the many differences between non-Jews, the Jewish people, other nations of the world will try and take credit for things that they did, the Jewish people benefit from, even when it wasn't their intention. And that a Jew, even if he did or that was what we learned from the Panei Menachem, and that a Jew, even if he did or did not do an action that was not with the intention of helping another, Hashem gives them the schar for the mitzvah. You gave the example of a Jew, if he loses a sum of money, he says, I'm not happy I lost my money, but if it goes to help a poor person, I can walk away happy, knowing it was used for a mitzvah. How apropos an example. I tried to flex my emunah muscles and internalize this message saying, Hashem, I really did not want to lose this money. But perhaps a poor person found it, was able to use it to buy food for Shabbos. I was feeling a little bit sulky, but tried to see it as a kapara, and even get schus, get the merit of the unintended mitzvah. So I returned home, took out my ingredients to start cooking. Before getting started, I went into Spotify and found your most recent shiur from 2 days ago. As always, I draw strength from the shiur, and by the end of the 45 minutes, I felt much better about having lost the money. I went back to my phone to start a different shiur and was about 5 minutes in when I got a phone call. A woman who had gone shopping found my money. I quickly thanked her, gave the simanim to ensure it was mine and not someone else's. When I asked her how she got my number and even got to me, she said I had left a receipt in the bag that had my phone number on it. As a side mention, that the receipt that she found was one I kept meaning to throw away, but by hashkacha, I never got around to it. I thanked her over and over and told her someone would come pick it up for her shortly. I hung up the phone and immediately burst into tears, just saying, thank you, Hashem. I see you. I know you are with me. As I'm in the middle of writing this email, my husband has confirmed he now has the cash in hand. Thank you, Rabbi Goldberg. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Wishing a beautiful Shabbos. Another great email. Another one that has a very nice happy ending. Has nothing to do with an airplane or an airport. I don't know if they'll put this one on Elal or not, but another wonderful, but again, it just gets you through. Instead of panicking and I lost and how will I replace and how will we have money to spend, hopefully a poor person found it. This was all part of Hashem's master plan. We'll see if it will work out. And after the fact, the receipt, and I love that line that she had at the end, because this is something I'm trying to work on and I think we can all work on, is in those moments to not all go, oh, I guess I got the parking spot. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I got the cash back. Oh, Baruch Hashem, the thing worked out. But to say, Hashem, I feel you smiling down at me. Smile back. Look up and offer him a smile back. I feel you winking at me. I feel you smiling at me. I feel the hug that you're giving me. And I just want to sit in one moment in that embrace. I could use a hug. And I feel the hug. This is not a coincidence. This isn't random or chance. Something worked out that I didn't think would. You're giving me a hug and I'm reciprocating. I'm not only experiencing and I'm taking the hug, not trying to struggle. I hugged one of my kids recently. She's pulling away. I said, where are you going? She said, I didn't say it's okay to hug me right now. I don't want to hug. I said, I don't care. I'm your father and I want to hug you right now. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but Hashem gives us the hug. Don't wiggle away. If he's giving you a hug, don't wiggle away. Your father's giving you a hug, lean in. Take it. Take it. We never know. And you have a father and he's giving you a hug, take it. There'll be a day that you'll wish you could get one more hug. There'll be a day that you'd give anything to get one more hug. So if your father's hugging you, I don't care what you're in the middle of. Statusing, texting your friend, whatever you're shopping, ordering something online, whatever you're doing. You could stop. If your father's giving you a hug, believe me, there'll be a day you wish one more hug. Lean into the hug. Hashem gives you a hug, lean in. I don't care what you're in the middle of. Hashem, you're giving me a hug, something worked out. Thank you. Delicious. I'm experiencing the hug and I'm hugging you back. Okay, we are on page Chaf. We began last week this piece of Emes Ve'emuna. Emes Ve'emuna, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. You want to learn more about him? Again, that article is in the WhatsApp group. Emes Ve'emuna. We always see these terms, this expression, go together. Why is it? Because, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, we mistranslate. Emuna is not the knowledge that there is a creator, that there's a originator, that God created and runs the universe. That's not Emuna, that's Emes. God doesn't need you to believe in him to exist. He exists. Believe in him, don't believe in him. See him, don't see him. Trust in him, don't trust in him. Surrender to him, don't surrender to him. Lovely. He doesn't need you to do those things to exist. That's the Emes. The Emes is he exists. You know, tonight on the Behind the Bima, we had an incredible over an hour interview with an outstanding young man, Shabbos Kestenbaum, who was on the front line at Harvard, suing Harvard, fighting Harvard, protesting at Harvard. An amazing young man, fascinating young man, in a million and one different ways. And one of the things he pointed out is that, you know, on Harvard's logo, its emblem, it has the Latin word, which I don't know, but that veritas, which means truth, means truth. And he said it's a cesspool of sheker. The place right now is just a cesspool of lies. And exactly its logo and its motto is what's missing, which is truth. And I wish we had had this conversation, and I wish I knew Latin, before the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, because that's what we spoke about. That Galus, exile, is this world and cesspool of lies, and that's what we're living in Olam HaSheker, a world of lies. Look what happened this week. Look what happened this week. Hamas pulled this incredible stunt. In many ways, brilliant. We should learn from our enemies. Brilliant. What did they do? So we don't even have necessarily, we hope that's wrong, and we doubt from the bottom of our hearts, enough live hostages. They're not interested in meeting these demands of the Israelis. So brilliant move. We don't want to be viewed as the ones who rejected a deal. We'll announce we accept the deal. Which deal? The one we negotiated with ourselves. But you know what happened? The whole world fell for it. The media headlines all announce Biden's a genius behind closed doors. He succeeded. He negotiated. Hamas agrees. Hamas accepts. Nobody did the due diligence. Nobody did their homework. Nobody examined, was this in fact the incredibly generous, maybe overly generous deal that Israel offered? It's not believable. It's not believable. Mainstream, supposedly media outlets, supposedly trustworthy media outlets. State Department, by the way, was part of advancing that Hamas accepted the deal without even acknowledging it wasn't the deal. All to try to position that Hamas were the ones willing to... We're living in a world of lies. Lies! The people, the authority, the outlets that were meant to be the trustworthy ambassadors of truth are the biggest purveyors of lies. That's Galus, that's the exile. And how? How do we navigate such a world? How do we bring redemption and Geula? Only by clinging to the truth. That was the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. It just ended a few minutes ago. It was that long. So we spoke all about how to navigate. So that's Emes. Emes. Emes is that there's a Hashem and this is His world. And He gave us principles. And He gave us prescription and an instruction manual and a blueprint. And that's why He took us out of Mitzrayim to live it, to demonstrate it, to model it for the world, to bring this redemption, to repair this world. That's the Emes that we have to cling to. That's the truth. The emes, the truth that we have to cling to, and that we have to represent, and that we have to model, and that we have to influence, and that we have to proclaim and project everywhere. That's emes. That's not emuna. That's not emuna. So what is emuna? If emuna is not that there is a Hashem, He created the world and He runs the world, then what is emuna? Emuna, He said, is the word ne'eman. And then we deviated last week to speak all about marriage and bias ne'eman b'Yisrael. What's a bias ne'eman b'Yisrael? Ne'eman is trustworthy. Reliable, dependable, who'll show up. That's Ne'eman. Is this person trustworthy in business? Is this person a trustworthy candidate for marriage, for shidduchim, references? Miserable, but Ne'eman, are they trustworthy? Research, that's Emuna. So Emuna is, what do I do with the MS? That's what Rav Moshe Shapiro began to build. Emuna is, what do I do with the MS? The MS is there's a Hashem, He doesn't need you to exist. Now what? What's your relationship to that MS? What's your relationship to it? Do you live with that awareness, that knowledge, that mindfulness, that consciousness? Does it kick in the moments? Do you turn to the MS? Uh-oh, flight delayed, flight canceled, will it work out? Waiting for a lab return, waiting for a lab report. I got a magnificent email this week. I got a beautiful email. It was one line. It was half a sentence. It was a person who wrote an Emuna email last year. And she shared about a struggle, a loss of a child and an issue with genetics that they discovered simultaneously, if you remember, to another child having to go to the hospital. Maybe you remember this email. She wrote me this week to say, Mazel Tov on the birth of her healthy baby. I love the follow-up Emuna email after the loss. And that's a happy ending a year later, which will take whatever amount of time it takes. Baruch Hashem. It was a chesed that she sent that to me. I'll tell you a pet peeve in the rabbinate. People share their problems left and right. They rarely follow up with when something good happens or it works out. It does. You know, every Simchas Torah, during Kol Na'aram, we have a special tefillah. And we invite people from all over the world, and sadly, we have a list of hundreds of names of people who are waiting and struggling and desperately wanting to have children. And Kol Na'aram, when there are in our shul, we have the Guinness World Record largest talis, and Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, the hundreds of children who come under it. And Kol Na'aram, we sing a malach together. But how many don't want to be in shul that day? How many is that day the most unbearably painful day? How much does it ache that there's not a child under that talis? So we take that moment and we offer a special tefillah. We read a special tefillah and we collect the names from all over. From all over. And you know, it's the most beautiful thing. when 9 months later, a year later, when we get an email that says, I gave in a name and I just want to let you know a healthy baby was born. Not because of our tefillah, because of all tefillahs and because of a lot of zchusim, because of a lot of reasons. It's just, it's nice to get that follow-up. Nice to get that. So I give us all a bracha. We should all follow up with one another to not only experience and share and comfort and strengthen each other through challenging times, but to share the good news, Mirtz Hashem, to be able to share wonderful news, wonderful updates, wonderful news, wonderful healing, and wonderful strengths and wonderful simchas with one another as well. So that's the emuna. Emuna is, what do you do with that emes? Emuna is, what do you do with that emes? In those difficult times and in those difficult moments and before you can send an email and before you know that there's going to be good news, Hashem is ne'eman. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. That's what emuna is. Do you turn to the trustworthy source? Do you lean on what's sturdy and safe and predictable? And that you can count on. And we ended last week with Emuna is the feminine, is Lashon Nekeva. Emuna. Emes is Lashon Zachar. Cognitive, cerebral, intellectual, it's in the masculine. But Emuna, putting that into practice, living it, breathing it, experiencing it, that's in the feminine. Because women, again, we're generalizing and stereotyping, and we each need to work on it, but just which has it more innately, intuitively. So emunah is in the feminine, Lashon Nekeva, because women more intuitive to practicing the faith, to putting the emes into practice. Men might intuit more the emes, but actually manifesting, experiencing it, practicing it, might be more a feminine quality. So we're on the bottom of page Chaf. Novel avim b'shor shadvarim, kol emes nedfeses b'toch ha-marechas ha-muskeles ha-shayeches la. We have to understand the root of the issue. Emes, this truth, the truth that there's a God, there's a creator, this is his world, that we are here to serve Him, we serve at His pleasure, that we have to surrender, we take our initiative, but ultimately He's in charge, He's the senior partner with all that we do. We have to analyze and understand and unpack and experience what that means. B'toch ha-tfisa shel da'as brura, ach eina kayemes michutz la'atzma. B'mokam she-shayeches ha-gdara she-bein emes v'sheker, sham nidpeses ha-yedia nechona ke-emes. In the place where you see the distinction between truth and lies, in that spot, in that place, where it's clear as day, where it's obvious what's true and what is a lie. There is the ability to grasp the correct knowledge of truth. Our mission, our challenge, and it's true when it comes to Hashem's existence, and it's true so much. You read an article that smoking's bad for your health. Okay, so if you're not a smoker, big deal, that's the MS. And the emunah, the putting it into practice, is easy because you never struggled with it. But let's say you're a chain smoker. You're an addict. And now you read the medical analysis. And it's clear as day, the research, that it's going to kill you. Good. Do you stop smoking? The MS is what appears there in that research, in the data. The emunah is, are you neman to take the MS and put it into practice? Maybe I'll take one a little bit more relatable. You read the article about eating all those carbs, about eating all the fried food, about overeating the calories. You read the article about the impact of the diet soda, of soda versus water. You read the, I'm ruining your day. You read the article about the Cape Cod potato chips. Mm. You read, it's been a long time since we invoked the Cape Cod potato chips. You read the article about what you shouldn't, okay, good. So you read it and you go, I accept it. That's the MS. Undeniable, the MS. I'll give you another one. You read the article that correlates how much time you spend on your technology and mental health challenges and illness, which is now not debatable, undeniable. The amount of time and the addiction, particularly social media, but technology as a whole, it used to be schools, shuls were afraid to bring these things up because you look so frum, fa-frumt, fa-brent. You can't talk about these things. You're a fanatic. But now it has nothing to do with religion or religious fanaticism. It has to do with responsible parenting and responsible healthy living and healthy hygiene, mental health hygiene. If you want to be mentally healthy, then we have to disconnect a little bit. Disconnect a little bit. I'll share this with you not to flex, but hopefully it can inspire. I was inspired. I told you when Yocheved's not here, I could talk about her. She often motivates me and challenges me and encourages me to get rid of some things on my phone. So during Bedikas Chametz with my family, before I made the bracha on Bedikas Chametz, with the candle and the feather and the spoon, I took out my phone and I said, I'm going to do some Bir Chametz on my phone. And deleted some apps that I found I was wasting time and seeing things and didn't need to be on. And they were Chametz, they're Chametz in my life. And I pledged through Sfira, because sometimes it's hard to say I'm going to do something forever, but through Sfira. for the period of Sfiras HaOmer from Pesach until Shavuos, I'm deleting. Hopefully it will continue beyond. And I know my girl's school, Hadar, did a similar thing with a challenge and a reward program. If you delete certain things for a period of time, it's a reward. It's a wonderful thing. I didn't even know. It's not like I knew and then I had to go bribe my children. They told me and they did it and they said, you know, I won't be able. Can I borrow your phone because I can't use this thing now because I deleted it and that kind of a thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I share it not to flex me and my children, but to challenge and to invite, to join. It's not too late to get rid of some of the chametz. You're allowed to have chametz now, but metaphysical chametz. Get rid of it. Do biur. Do some biur chametz on it. And that's what Bedikas Chametz is really all about. Not just looking for the physical chametz, but looking. Look for the 10 pieces on your phone that you could delete. And the next morning, go and throw them into the fire, burn, and destroy them. And how can we make up? You want to do one of the most eye-opening, challenging things in the world? Nobody ever wants to do it. Open up the screen report on your phone. Because you can't be in denial. When your phone tells you the data of how much time you spend and what you spend on what, you can't be in denial anymore. Nobody wants to. If it pops up, you X out quickly. It's not accurate. It's not me. It's someone else had my phone. It's not true. I was watching Living with Emunah. That's what I was watching so much there on the YouTube. But this is that time. Sfiras HaOmer. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're going to get to the base of that mountain together on Shavuos. We're going to receive that Torah. We're trying to be the best version of ourselves on that day when we stand there arm in arm, unified ki ish echad b'lev echad. So it's a time of work. Now is the time to work. It's a time to work. One of the ways we work is by deleting, is by getting rid, is by working on it, is by working on it. So that's the emunah. The emes is, I'm a rabbi, I've given 100 drushes about how bad technology is for your mental health. That's emes. I knew the emes, I've given drushes about the emes, I've written articles about the emes, I've read articles about the emes, that's all emes. The emunah is good. Now what? You delete anything from your phone? Did you put any safeguards, boundaries? Are you spending less time on it? Good. You read, now you know the emes, shoin. Good. Wonderful. The emunah is, are you ne'eman? Are you trustworthy and reliable and faithful to take that emes and put it into practice? So it's true in every area of our life, from smoking to health and wellness physically, to mental health, to everything. The emes is the knowledge. The emunah is the practice of that knowledge. This is outside of the emes. Whether you practice it or not won't impact the emes. The food is bad for you whether you choose to stop eating it or not. And the technology will be bad for you. Choose to stop using it or limit how you use it or not. The emes lives in the world of intellectually, whether it's true or not true. We turn the page to Chaf Aleph. The MS lives in the world of analysis. Is it true or not true? Right or wrong? It doesn't care about what you do. The MS doesn't care about your feelings. The facts don't care about your feelings. It's Rav Moshe Shapiro. A different Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro. The facts, the MS doesn't care about your feelings. The Emunah does. Did you put it into practice or not? But the emes won't be impacted. Because that emes is immutable. It's absolute. It's true. It's not compromised or perverted or distorted by whether you live it or not. It remains pure, pristine. It remains the emes. In order for the emes lives in an ivy tower. The emes is protected. The emes is pure and pristine. The emes is behind the glass. So how does the emes connect to you? The answer is emunah. Emunah takes the emes from behind the glass. Emunah takes the emes from out of the ivory tower. Emunah takes the emes from being protected and being practiced, put into life. Ha'emes chala ala emunah. Ha'emunah hi krisas bris la'emes. Emunah is a covenant. It is a contract. It is a promise. With the emes. Laseis losa emes es atzmenu. I hereby pledge and promise, I give you the emes, I give you myself. Bof and shi'itia yaseid baltimot, that it will be a peg, it will be a foundation that won't move. Zosa marechas anikras emunah haba achre yidias etzam ha'emes. So first study and learn the emes. What's the emes? Not everybody knows the emes. Some people are lost. Is there a God? Is there no God? Is there a God, but he's not involved in my life? How much is he involved in my life? Is he involved only in the big things in my life or only the little things in my life? There's a lot of MS to learn. We spent 300 some shiur, and there's a lot of MS to learn. There's the MS. Why did he create the world? There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of MS to analyze and explore and ask. But that's all just establishing the MS. Then the question becomes, what do you do with that MS? Do you have a contract and covenant, a pledge and a promise? Will you put into practice that MS? That's called Emunah. To come to the MS shiur every week, to come to the Emunah shiur every week, that's MS. To then put it into practice the rest of the week, that's Emunah. So we're going to stop here. Wish everybody a day filled with MS. The Emunah should be a day of Besoros Tovah Shvishir, wonderful and great things for Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael.